You are listening to Agency Work, the podcast that provides career advice for people who want to work at a creative agency. I am your host, Parker Playstead. Today I'm talking with Kelly Vance. Kelly is the owner and story chaser at Vance Agency, an award-winning PR firm here in Richmond, Virginia that bears her name. Kelly has a Bachelor of Arts degree in Public Relations from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. Kelly, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Parker.
So I'm going to start off this podcast by reading a statement from your website. I really like this statement because it's well written and elegantly explains the mission of public relations. So here we go. PR is more than just getting ink. It's about instilling trust and building relationships. It's about personal experiences and vivid storytelling. It's about inspiring your audience to champion your message. So that's the statement, and I like it. It's a really nice statement explaining the mission of public relations, but I'd like you to expand on that. And through our conversation today, we're going to touch on pieces of that statement, kind of build out and expand on it. So I'm going to ask you to jump in and tell us more about the mission of public relations. What is it? Why do we do it? Why is it valuable to clients?
That might take a while.
Okay. We've got some time.
So people think a lot of things about what public relations is. Even within the profession, there's a lot of disagreement about what it means. Some people think that I have a glamorous job where I might be hobnobbing with celebrities or doing PR stunts and maybe even have like a frivolous job. Some people think that it's about manipulating the truth or covering it up somehow. I've heard it many times, spin a story. It's like nails on a chalkboard. Almost everyone equates PR with press coverage. And I have to tell you that very few PR practitioners think like this. You know, a gimmick might be good for grabbing attention and creating what people often call buzz. But true PR has and has always been about building relationships. It's in the name, public relations. So to that effect, our currency is really trust. So I like to say that I'm in the business of building trust.
Right. And there's a perception of PR people being kind of glamorous or doing fun things and being a little frivolous or whatever, right? There's some negative stereotypes around public relations. But you're right. It's about building trust and developing those relationships so that people trust what you are saying, right?
Yes. As trust what we're saying and can measure that by our actions. But it is something that is built over time. So it's not a one-off. It really is an investment. So if you're thinking about hiring a PR firm or if you're going to do it yourself, you definitely have to be in it for the long game.
Right. Some people think PR is another form of advertising, and they look at it as short-term gains, just like advertising, that they'll invest in a campaign just for PR, just like they would invest in an advertising campaign. But that's not the right approach to public relations.
Well, right. I think there was a saying that, or maybe I guess there is still a saying, that is people pay for advertising and they pray for PR. I don't know. I don't know about that, but I can tell you that anyone in communications right now should be, and I'm sure they are, but they should be thinking about integrated approaches to communications. Digital has really turned everything on its head, and so we're all working off of that paid, earned, shared, owned model. Whatever branch of communications you're coming from, you know, we are all integrated at this point. Public relations people, if they're going to be successful, need to make sure that they're not limiting themselves to earned media alone.
Right. So let's go over that peso model. I didn't know this term peso, but you brought it to my attention. The paid, earned, shared, and owned, PESO, peso model. So tell me more about the peso model.
So the peso model, I cannot take credit for this term. It's a mentor of mine. Developed it. She published a book called Spin Sucks. I'm a big fan of Jenny Dietrich. So if you're listening, Jenny, basically it is integrated communications in a visual form, right? You have a Venn diagram where you have paid media, which people typically consider advertising, but it could be sponsorships. I mean, literally anything you are paying for to produce. Then you have earned media, which is traditionally thought of as public relations or media relations. Then you have shared media, which is social media, anything that you're sharing that way. And owned media, which I think is where it all begins, is really anything you produce on your own. So, yes, it could be a brochure, but I think that your website is absolutely your ultimate number one media platform. And so in the middle of all of this is your cred, you know, your authority. It's proof that you are who you say you are. So all of these things need to work together. Now, I'm also going to quote another mentor of mine, a professor of mine back at UNC Charlotte, Alan Freitag. He said many, many times throughout my career, because we've kept in touch, never to do anything in isolation. So when we talk about the paid, earned, shared, owned model, I'm not suggesting we do all of those things all of the time. But you do need to develop a strategy where you leverage platforms that might not have been around 10 years ago, and to do so mindfully.
So one aspect of the PESO model is to understand we've got all these different opportunities to tell a story and share information. And so in PR, we tend to compartmentalize the public relations people as the earned media people and look to them when we're thinking about earned media. But the PR people can play in all four of these areas and help bridge them and bring in more than one at a time. So, you know, you can have a combination of these things. When you go look at that Venn diagram from her book, you can see how the overlaps have their own interpretations. So as a PR person, you need to understand each of these options and how to deliver on those opportunities for your client. So I may not be saying this as well as you could, but the idea is understand all four of these areas as a PR person, understand when to bring that channel opportunity to the marketing communications plan and how to use that in the marketing communications plan. All of them are important for PR people. So sometimes we think it's just the marketing people need to know all four. No, the PR person should be involved in all four as well.
What's different about modern PR as opposed to, say, 5 or 10 years ago is that we have more digital assets to leverage than ever before. So you can amplify your reach through multiple channels and not just rely on earned media alone.
Yeah, that's a good point. So let's go back to kind of a starting point where a client calls you, and a typical conversation that comes up when a client calls you to bring you in to help their company in some fashion, and they have some idea of what they want a PR person to do. That's why they called you in the first place. So tell us more about what that conversation tends to look like and where that conversation goes.
So people call for a number of reasons, but usually I hear we need more exposure, we need more visibility, we need to get our story out there. And that makes sense, right? I mean, we can understand we need to have a megaphone, right? But I typically will ask, why? Why do you need the exposure? Why do you need the visibility? What's the rest of that sentence, in other words? And so I do that because A, I'll get an answer about, well, okay, we work with a lot of nonprofits, so we need to get our message out there so that people will donate money, or we need to roll out a product. If, you know, there's a goal, right? We hear all the time, if more people knew about this, then they would do this other thing. So that's helpful because that helps me understand what the purpose of the activity is. And then we try to ask a lot of questions to get a sense of why the client works so hard to do that. So in other words, you want to get your story out there to raise more money for this really important charity. Why do you care so much about this charity? Why the late nights? Why are you spending, you know, time away from your family to do this? And usually usually there's a connection between what they want people to do and what they're working so hard to accomplish. And so we try to find out kind of what is in the middle there. And that is actually the story. That's, in essence, the brand. It's the whole point. And it sounds really easy, but people have all kinds of ideas in their minds about what their brand is. And usually, I don't know if it's usually, but often it is what they think the customer wants them to say, or what sounds smart, and has little to do with why they work so hard. We try to roll up our sleeves and get to the heart of that. And again, that's usually where we find the story.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is the client will come in and tell you, you know, what they want. You're asking, why do you want that? You're trying to get at the passion they have for this and deeper understanding of why. Whereas the client probably is coming to you and saying, Kelly, just tell me what the customer wants to hear so I can say what the customer wants to hear. You know, tell me what I should say. And that's the wrong approach to public relations. You don't bring a public relations person in to tell the company what the customer wants to hear. And that's unfortunately what I see on company side work that I do, is the people at the company don't know what to say to the customer, so they're trying to get coached on what to say to the customer, when you're really coming back to them saying, look, you got to have a reason for why you get up in the morning and go to work, and why you believe this product or service or organization belongs here and exists, and why you're passionate about it and why somebody should care about it. So you're trying to get into that emotion so that you know what the story should be to connect with the consumers. Is that a fair way to say it?
Sure. I mean, I would say we all have, myself included, stock answers for our purpose, our brand. I'm sure we've written, if you're in communications, chances are you've probably written your brand statement. And all of this is great, because you should be doing that kind of reflection and soul searching. But if you find where you know where you want to go, right? You know what you want to accomplish. So from, you know, a marketing perspective, it's like, great, we know why we're headed this direction. But I need to know also, why all the passion? Why do you care so much? Because if I'm able to then identify what the core story is, and you could probably use that term, you know, interchangeably with brand, I have somewhere to start. It's the thing that is going to attract the people, the like-minded people who want you to win.
Right. Yes. And you need that. You need that story.
So in essence, your story is your why. It's the reason you exist. It's all the blood, sweat, and tears you pour into the effort.
Right. So once we know that, then you get to work on crafting the communication strategy, looking at the peso model and what media channels to use for that communication strategy. But you actually have something tangible to work from, that you can develop a meaningful story and find the things in that story that would resonate positively with your audience. Is that a fair way to put it?
Absolutely. I think in terms of the PESA model, I would say, you know, our agency, we work with a collaborative of filmmakers and journalists and designers, a whole, you know, ragtag crew of people who can help us tell the story across multiple platforms. That is not to say that all platforms should be used for the story. But you do need to be able to fully understand the channels, but they aren't going to help you tell the story. You need to be able to understand how to tell the story using different mediums. So it doesn't work unless it's true. So true in theory and true in life, different things. or can be different things. You do need to evaluate whether or not this ideal is really one you adopt. and can live by every day. So when you identify what this brand is, this story, it's this raison d'etre, right? If you do that, you do need to make sure that you can live up to the expectations you're essentially setting by saying this is who you are, right? And that sounds really easy, too. Everything we do sounds really easy until we start doing it. I can tell you where it works, at least in my opinion. I'll preface this by saying I do not work for Sheetz, but apparently I'm a big fan. I mentioned to you earlier that when I take a long trip, I do a fair amount of driving, and when I look for the highway signs and where to pull off, I inevitably look for Sheetz. And I look for Sheetz because I know from my own experience with the brand, it will be clean. I will have something decent to eat. They're pretty nice in there. Doesn't matter which one I go to, but that'll be the experience. And let's say I stopped and I did not have that experience. That's okay because I've had so many of those experiences that is an anomaly. So it's a great example of how living your brand and being consistent in that way can really help you develop that trust that you seek over the long run. And that is, again, accomplished through multiple channels, right? Another example where it doesn't work out that well is a personal one I mentioned, in that I've been going with my family for all the years of my daughter's life. We've gone to the beach and we've gone to this one pancake house, and it's really like the one time over the week that we get to be together, just the three of us. So we look forward to it, and we talk about how we're going to go to this pancake house and how my daughter's going to have she's going to have a Mickey Mouse pancake, and they're going to put, I mean, it's just all the little trappings that made it special. We had the greeting from the waitress and just the vibe of the place. We went there last summer, and it had been bought by a different group, and the name was the same, and the restaurant looked the same. And I think, nobody was rude to us, but it wasn't the same. And they could have cared less. It's hard for me to even pinpoint what it was, except it was so different from the warm, inviting experiences we'd had in the past that when we left, we thought, I don't know exactly what went wrong, but we also knew we would never come back again. Now, that was maybe a one-off thing, but in retrospect, I think this might have been building over time. I don't know, but you can say, if you establish certain expectations and you live up to them, then you're reinforcing your brand. If you establish expectations and you start to fall short repeatedly, then you have this disconnect, and that starts to dissolve your brand.
Right. So the big point here is you have to be consistent and develop a consistent delivery of what it is you are. So if you're a restaurant and the food and experience in the restaurant, you have to be consistent in delivering that over long term as proof of who you are, and in your relationship with your customers, establishing trust with them that they can come in and have that experience every time they come in. So this relationship building, this trust in what I'm going to experience when I interact with the brand, the company, the person, whoever it is we're dealing with, is so important. And that is really part of the core of public relations. It's not like advertising. It's not like some of these other things. It is really a long-term focus on what can you deliver consistently over time and committing to that, right? So as you're thinking about your company, where are you going? What do you want to be known for? You've got to make a commitment and deliver on that commitment over the long term for this all to work out. Now, we can look back and look at the example of the pancake house or some other things. A great example in marketing was when Coca-Cola changed its formula and had a whole history behind the connection to the original formula. They changed the formula, big mistake. So you can look back and see these things. But as you're looking now where you are and where you want to go, you have to take an honest look at what can you deliver consistently. And you have to get your client on board with that. And if you can't get that, it's really hard to come up with an effective PR plan if you can't see that vision of what can you deliver consistently to your customers, commit to that, and commit to it wholeheartedly and with no thoughts of ever abandoning that.
Yes, it's knowing who you are as a brand, as a person, right? As a brand. It's knowing who you are and then being able, then it's really easy, right? Then you are who you say you are. I'll give you two short examples that might work for your show. My best friend, I told her the other day, I wish I could wear Doc Martens. In my head, I want to be cool punk rock girl. I really do. And she looked at me. This is a woman I've known for 30 years. She says, yeah, but you're really J. Crew. You know that, right? And she, she's probably right. But a great example about a brand we all know, if you're listening in Richmond, that has consistently delivered over time and had that really pay off in the long run is the Richmond Folk Festival, right? So I have the honor and the privilege of working with the festival. I've been doing that for the last 6 years. It is a dream. If you've ever been, and I'd say most of the listeners probably have, they know what a great feeling they get when they go to the festival, right? The whole point of the festival is to celebrate likenesses and differences. It's about appreciating cultures and especially those that are different from our own and as well as our roots. It's our humanity that unites us. And if you go there, you'll know that you're going to experience this. This is why people come. Sure, they have great music and it's cool and there are a million other reasons to go to the festival that are really good too. But it's that feeling. It's an emotional connection that people have with the festival, and it aligns with the people who organize the festival. Those things intersect. And when they do, you have that kind of synergy. You have that that thing I talked about where that's where your story lies. And so, as their editor of the, the Folk Fest Insider, the whole purpose of that publication was to draw the diehard fans in, to see the behind-the-scenes people who really, really want to get into it and to encourage the, 1,500 volunteers it takes to come and set up the festival year after year. And I could go on. But a good example of how this worked when the chips were down is we were shooting a video in 2016. The idea was to just capture the essence of the festival. I had lofty aspirations of doing a mini documentary. I don't know. We'll see. You watch it and you be the judge. But days before the festival, we noticed we had a hurricane coming in. It was going to be a tropical storm. It's rained every year, almost every year that I've had the privilege of working with the festival. But this time we had rain and wind. We had a hurricane, and we were all kind of looking at each other like, well, we also have tents and media. We're calling right on schedule. Are you going to have this thing? Are you guys going to have to cancel? No. But we were watching the weather pretty carefully. And sure enough, Friday night was fine, and we did a little scouting to prepare for the video and took a little bit of footage. And then we were going to spend most of Saturday capturing the festival. Well, when I woke up Saturday morning, it wasn't just raining. If you were here, you might remember it was sheets of rain. It was impossible. You couldn't have filmed anything. But the festival will go on. So we went down. And we figured out how to... We got our bearings and we decided, plan B, was that you know who's going to show up on a day like this. The real diehards. The guys who don't care. how wet they get, they're going to come out and enjoy the festival. And sure enough, they did. They came out. We had a smaller crowd, but we had a lot of people, surprisingly. I was really taken aback by how many people showed up, but we went and we filmed people who were just out dancing and just, they were soaked. And we interviewed a ton of people. And sure enough, on Sunday, beautiful day, but after all the rain, you can imagine the slog in the mud. It was just unbelievable. Shoes abandoned out. but you should have seen, well, you can if you watch the video, the faces. People were so glad to see it work out. They were so thrilled that the festival came together. So not only did we get footage of the diehards who weathered the storm or the rain, we also had everyone came out in droves on Sunday and were ecstatic about the success of the festival. And if you really wanted to tap into that vibe of what the folk festival really means to all of us, we were there to capture it all on camera. If you're true to your brand and you're true to the people who believe in your brand, they will come.
That's great. That's a great story. Right. And you're true to your customers and they trust you to deliver and they'll come out.
We had about 125,000 that weekend. It was pretty great.
That's a good turnout. So the people who came out for the festival believed in the mission of the festival, believed in the experience. They had a history of coming out and experiencing the festival. So as you were there capturing that from the attendees and getting this video story, you were acting like a journalist on the scene. And so in previous discussions we've had, you've talked about one path to PR is the path of a journalist who has to learn how to investigate a story, pull the pieces of information into what you need for the story. So find the pieces of information you need, be resourceful, craft the story from the information you receive, and so on. So I'm explaining it on your behalf. I'm going to turn it back over to you. But the path of the journalist is one way of developing the skills of being a good PR person, and I'm going to let you explain that.
Sure. You know, I think that probably most PR people at one point or another thought about journalism, thought about becoming a journalist or a documentarian. I can't speak for everyone. I certainly did. From a very early age, I was interviewing everybody on my block. I was 8. I went around with those, you know, those big cassette recorders, and I would go and tape interviews with my dad, you know, asking him why he went to work every day, and my neighbors about their pets, and my sister about her dolls. But I did interview a lot of people. I got a camcorder and I interviewed my grandmother about her life. And, you know, some of those people aren't with us anymore. It was really, I cringe when I think about the interviewing skills, but I treasure those stories because I'm not alone in that. The family treasures those stories because they connect us. And so I think because I'm passionate about storytelling, on a personal level, it's not surprising that it would cross over into my professional life. And I would say that's probably a truth for most people in public relations. They're keenly interested in people. Publics, right? They're interested in people. So if you're going to be successful in PR, you definitely have to be interested in people. And developing my craft in kind of sifting through and finding those stories and finding many different ways to tell the story across platforms, that gives me an opportunity to help people who are doing really important work find stories that resonate with their audiences. And I find that to be very rewarding. That's what I get out of it. Plus, I get a front row seat of, you know, really cool things. And I've really enjoyed that. I think most PR people do. Yes. So whether you come up through the ranks in journalism or you do a lot of traveling, find opportunities to put yourself in other people's shoes and see things from another perspective.
Right. It's so important. So, right, have the curiosity that you demonstrated as a young person. Get out there and be curious and try to understand things. And as you're getting older and better at this, try to understand things from other people's perspectives. So you're listening to their perspectives. You want to have that ability to understand their perspective without judging it. And you've got to develop an interview technique that people are comfortable talking to you, right? So there's one element of being curious and asking questions, and you come off like a detective interrogating people or an attorney, you know, asking witnesses on the witness stand questions. That's not going to work well. You need to develop a style that people are comfortable talking to you, you're really trying to understand them, and that's the way to go as a PR person.
I would add to this then, this. I think the best way to do that is to learn how to listen. And when people feel that they are being listened to and you're not preparing the next thing that you want to say to them or the next question you want to ask them, when you listen, people will tell you all sorts of things. People ultimately want to feel heard. And so when you stop and you listen, they'll tell you their story.
That's good. All right, Kelly, this has been good. We've had a good conversation about public relations, but we've run out of time, so I've got to wrap this thing up. Thank you for your time today. I appreciate you sharing your insights with us. To our audience, you have been listening to the Agency Work Podcast. My guest today has been Kelly Vance from the PR firm that bears her name. We've been talking about public relations, developing trust, developing stories, looking at public relations as a long-term plan, having an authentic story, and being inquisitive and listening to people. So a lot of good topics within the realm of public relations. To learn more about her PR firm, Vance, go online to vanceagency.com, VanceAgency.com. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
And to our audience, thank you for listening. This episode is wrapping up our season for season one. Next week, I will be back with a retrospective summary of the entire season. I hope you will tune in and listen to that episode. This podcast was recorded at Red Amp Audio in Richmond, Virginia. This is Agency Work signing off.